They clap your hands to the Lord. Praise God. Spirit of the Lord is moving in this house. If you're praying, just keep on praying. God's working in this house. Praise God. Anybody glad to be in God's house on a Wednesday night? Mighty God. God's moving. God's doing what he does. God doesn't take days off. And we don't either. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise God. What a wonderful weekend around the house of God. I think people were baptized. People received the Holy Ghost. Just a great weekend. And I believe God's going to continue to do what he's doing in this house tonight. Did anybody come with expectation in your spirit tonight that God's going to speak to you? Praise God. Praise God. If you got your Bibles, we're going to go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Begin reading today in verse 35. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Continue to lift up the Sons and the Collins in your prayers and all those that are traveling. I think we've got a lot of people on the road this week. Impact Conference is in Fort Myers, Florida. We've got people there. So continue to pray for your church family as they travel this week. But I believe God's going to do something here tonight. I'm just glad to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Mark chapter 4, begin reading in verse 35. The Bible says, "And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. And I want to take a title from verse 36. Bible says, And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. I want to preach about the other little ships today. If you put your Bibles down, cry out to God. Somebody lift up your voice right now. Mighty God, we love you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your provision. God, we ask that you would continue to move in this house. Anoint my lips of clay, oh God. Hide me behind your cross. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let them be acceptable in your sight. Jesus, you're my strength and my redeemer. Let everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord all over this house. Amen. You may be seated. The presence of the Lord. All of our visitors, we're so glad that you're here. Let's give our visitors a hand today for coming to the house of the Lord. Jesus began to teach by the seaside to a great multitude that were gathered unto him. He entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables. He begins to teach about the sower. Jesus, compassionate, patient, and kind, spent time trying to get people to understand. He would teach the multitude, and then he would teach his disciples. He would teach about the candlestick, the growing seed, about the grain of a mustard seed. But the Bible says the same day when the even was come. And some scholars believe that Jesus would spend all day teaching until it was evening time. And when the evening time was come, he told his disciples, he says, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And so they sent away the multitude and took him into the ship. And there arose a great storm. The waves began to beat into the ship. Now the ship was full of water. Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And frantically the disciples awake him and say, "Master, carest not that we perish? Don't you understand what's going on? There is great rain that's happening. There is a storm. Do you not even care about us? Do you not even care that we perish?" And the Bible says that Jesus arose. He rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And Jesus was asking about their faith because he gave them provision before they ever pushed away from the shore. Jesus said to them, he said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." He let them know, we are going to pass over to the other side. No matter what happens between here and there, there is an assurance in the air that we are going to pass over unto the other side. I've come to tell somebody that sometimes there is a storm that'll rise up in your life, and sometimes you don't know what's going to happen, but you just gotta stand on the word of God and understand Jesus said, "We're going to pass through on the other side." But the storm began to rage and water began to fill the ship, and the disciples began to let the storm snatch the word that was already spoken. And I've come to tell somebody, don't ever let circumstance or situation dictate the word that was already spoken to you. Don't ever let circumstance or situation dictate your proximity to the word that God has already spoken in your life. I've come to preach to somebody to let you know today that God's already established some things. He's already spoken his word, and you... Jesus, don't you let your circumstance, don't you let your situation, don't you let the calamity stand between you and the word that was already preached to you. I just come to preach to somebody to let you know, don't ever lose sight of the word of God. Don't ever forget the word already spoken. Don't ever forget that you can always hold up the word. Because the enemy is tactful. He'll try to use storms of life to disrupt your ability to see. And the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. You got to get something in your spirit today. You got to go to the word of God one more time. You've got to get a Psalms 119 and 105 in your mouth. And remember, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I can't see through the clouds, when I don't know my way, when I'm lost in a storm, I gotta find the word of God. When it gets blurry all around me and I don't know where I'm at, when life has come up against me and there's something in my way, I gotta frantically look around and find the word that God has already established. I gotta find the word of God that God already set forth in the earth. You've gotta understand, it's the word of God that'll be forever settled in the heavens. Does anybody believe what I'm preaching today? Bible says in Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Psalm 119 and 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Isaiah 40 and 8, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever." 1 Peter 1 and 25, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever." The word of the Lord doesn't stop because you've got a situation. The word of the Lord doesn't cease to be spoken because calamity hits your life. The word of the Lord is standing there before you hit the calamity, and it's going to be standing there in the middle of the situation, and it's going to be standing on the other side of the situation. I've come to tell somebody, you got to get back to the word of God. You got to remember what God has already said. Told him, he said, we're going to pass through to the other side. Before we push away from the shore, I want to give you provision, and I want to give you an assurance, a blessed assurance, that we are going to the other side. We may hit some difficult spots along the way, and life may get rough, and it's going to get tough sometimes, but just know the word of God in the house tonight, that we're going to the other side, that God's going to see us through, that God might. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. He didn't say, you're going to perish and I'm going to keep on floating to the other side. He said, no, my friend, you got to understand that I said some stuff in the earth, and when I establish it in the earth, you can stand on it. You can take it to the bank. You can put everything that you've got on it, that they're going to be going to the other side. I come to tell somebody that's in the middle of your situation and you think this is the end, that God said we're going to the other side, that we're going to make it on the other side, that he's going to help us get through it. It's Jeremiah. It's the famous scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. Where he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And we understand the scripture and have heard this scripture over and over again. But you got to go back a little bit before that and understand where they were standing when he gave them the word. Jeremiah 29:4 says this, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. The people of God were in captivity. They were in Babylon and they were held captive. And God told them, he said, I want you to build houses. He said, I want you to live in those houses. He said, another thing I want you to do is I want you to plant some gardens. He said, you need to eat the fruit of the gardens. He said, you need to take wives and begat sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. He said, what I'm trying to tell you is that you're going to be here for a while. He said, you're gonna be in Babylon for a little while. You're gonna be standing in this place for a little while. And then he says, seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. He said, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you cause to be dreams. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. He said, I have not sent them, saith the Lord. He said, you're going to encounter some people when you're standing in the middle of your captivity in Babylon that are going to tell you this is going to be a quick work. You're going to be able to get out of here in just a short amount of time. God said, don't listen to the false prophets. You need to set up camp right here, and you need to learn how to do the things of God in Babylon. He said, you're not going anywhere for a long time, but I don't want you to just stop and do nothing. I want you to be fruitful and multiply. I want you to continue in my word. I want you to continue doing the things that I called you to do. And then he says, for thus saith the Lord. He said, you're going to be here for 70 years. He said, and for 70 years after that is accomplished at Babylon, he said, then I'm going to visit you. and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. And then he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. He said, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I just come to preach to somebody and let you know that you may be in your situation for a little while, but don't fret and don't worry, because I got a promise in the word of God that God has the end in mind, and he's going to give me an expected end. He's not just going to let me stay in Babylon and die, but I'm going to pass through onto the other side. Somebody needs to get a hold of what I'm preaching. Somebody who's walking in the middle of your mess, in the middle of your calamity, you need to just keep on walking. You need to get through to the other side. God's got a promise for you. You got to be clear and understand the word of God, that just because we travel with Jesus don't mean we won't see trouble. And just because we're on the boat with Jesus doesn't mean that things won't get rocky sometimes. I just come to tell somebody that even though the thing is rocking, and even though you see the clouds and you see everything on the water that's coming up against you, you can rest assured that Jesus has it all under control. I just come to preach to somebody that's in the middle of their midnight hour, that God has got joy for you in the morning, and that God is going to help you to get through to the other side. Somebody ought to be encouraged today. Somebody ought to stand up in boldness and take hold to the word of God tonight. But the Bible is clear to make mention of the other little ships. Bible says in verse 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. The other gospels don't talk about the other little ships. And when I read this, oftentimes when I read this passage, I miss it and I don't see it. But the other day, this stuck out on the page to me, that there were other little ships. And the Bible says that with him, there were other little ships. And there aren't many details given about the other little ships, but the Bible was sure to let us know that they were with Jesus. And on the same sea, the same time, they too felt the raging of the storm. They felt the rocking of their little ship. They experienced the same thing that the disciples experienced. They too were in a desperate situation. I can assure you that their eyes were fixed on the big ship that carried Jesus, the hope of glory. Jesus is on the big ship. There were other little ships that were on the sea that was raging, and the thing was rocking, and everything looked like it was going crazy. And I can imagine them thinking to themselves, is this going to be the end? They were probably wondering what would happen. They were probably wondering, does God even see me where I am? They were probably like the disciples, crying out in desperation, Master, carest not that we perish. God, I know you're over there on their boat, and I know they've got you in cargo with them, but Master, do you even care about the other little ships? Master, do you care about my boat? Master, can you see me when I cry? Master, do you know where I am today? I can see them in those other little ships. As the waves begin to beat into the ship, and as the water begin to fill the little ship, are we going to die right here in our situation? Is this the end of our lives? Not able to see if Jesus was working or not. Where are you, God? We can't see you. I know you're not on my boat, God, but can you see little old me? And all of a sudden, peace be still rains forth over the sea, and the storm and the rain begin to cease, and there is a great calm. But it wasn't just calm for the disciples who had Jesus on their boat, but it was also calm for all of the other little ships that was riding on the same sea. It was also calm for all of those that wasn't sure if God saw them where they were, that didn't feel like a big ship, that didn't feel like they had anything to offer Jesus. I'm coming to tell somebody that you feel like God is not with you, that you are not alone, but God... You see those other little ships and the men aboard wondering where God was. They knew he was on the boat. They knew Jesus was riding on the boat, the bigger boat, but they're wondering and racking their mind. He's probably got something else to do. He probably can save them, but I wonder, can he save me? I know he sees them, but can God see somebody like me? I've come to preach to somebody that you feel like you're the lowest of lows, that you feel like you're the scum of the earth, but I'm telling you today that God loves you and that God knows you, and you're not walking by yourself. God's walking with you every step of the way. You can count on God. Scripture is intentional, and every word that's written in the book is there for a reason. I wonder why would they make mention of the other little ships? Why would they talk about the other little boats? Why would they tell us this and not give us a backstory and not give us any details? But in the text are all the details you need. The Bible says, and there were also with him. They were with Jesus. Just like the disciples were walking with Jesus, that God was walking with the other little ships, and he was on their boat too. They went down on the big ship and they said, Master, you've got to wake up. Care it's not that we perish. And the ones on the little ships, I believe they probably cried out too, Master, care it's not that we perish. And I'll tell you this, I believe that he heard them just as clear as he heard the ones that were on the bigger ships. Master, care it's not that we perish. I gotta get up. I've gotta take care of my children. I gotta make sure that. I just want to tell you, whatever you're going through, you're not going through it by yourself. You are not alone. But what happens in distress is all we can think about is ourselves. And in this passage of scripture, it can go both ways, because I can see the people that were on the other little ships, and I can see the disciples that were on the bigger ship. And when the disciples are on the bigger ship and they've got Jesus aboard, even in their distress, they forget that the master of the sea is riding with them. And oftentimes in moment of distress, we go into a mode of self-preservation, and it becomes all about me. Me, and did I mention me? It becomes about my life. It becomes about saving myself. But I can imagine the disciples, they probably forgot that they probably thought that they were the only ones walking through this situation. We got Jesus on our boat, but we still afraid. We got Jesus riding with us, but we don't know what's going to happen. Master, careth not that we perish. But all along the way, they weren't walking through what they were walking through by themselves, but Jesus had other little ships that was going through the same thing that they were going through. I've come to preach to somebody. You may be walking through a situation and you feel isolated and you feel like you're all by yourself, but I just come to tell you today that Jesus is with you today, that somebody else is walking through what you're walking through, and if they can make it out, then I can make it out. That's why your testimony is so important. You gotta tell your story. You gotta tell your testimony today. The bigger ships were focused on self-preservation and making sure that they were going to make it. But Jesus looks at the big picture, and I thank God for a God that's not small-minded. I thank God for a God that's not just looking at one person, but at the same time that God is looking at you, God is looking at me, and he's caring about what I've got going on. And sometimes you've got to understand that we serve a God that's big enough to deal with my problems, but we also serve a God that's big enough to care about the other little ships. You got to see it today, saint of God. You got to understand that the God that you serve is able to hold up your life, but at the same time that he's holding up your life, he's holding up the other little ships. I've come to preach to somebody, whether you feel like you're walking with Jesus or whether you feel like Jesus is nowhere near you, God is walking with you. You are not alone. God is going with you. You are not alone. You are not alone today. Jesus walks on this earth as a sinless man, and he came for a purpose. Jesus came to die for the sins of the world, and Jesus is seized, and they grab him, and they take him, and they beat him. They split open his back with a cat of nine tails, and they take him down the Via Dolorosa. And they place the crown of thorns on Jesus' head, a man that has never done anything, but a man that had a purpose. Jesus came to die for you and for me, and there was nobody that was going to stop the program. Jesus had a purpose, and he was dead set on making sure that I can have redemption for my soul. Anybody thankful for a Savior today that'll lay down his life for his friends? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. You ought to be thankful for that today. So Jesus gets to Golgotha, stretches his arms, and he dies. But it doesn't stop there, because the Bible says 3 days later, he was resurrected. Mary and some other women, they went down to the sepulcher, and they tried to figure out where he was. And Jesus was gone. The angel said, he is not here, but he is risen. And two came walking on the Emmaus Road in Luke chapter 24. And they talked about the things that had happened. And the Bible says that they reasoned with themselves. And Jesus himself, a resurrected Jesus, he drew near unto them and went with them. The Bible says, but their eyes were holding that they didn't know him. He said, what are you guys talking about? And one answered and said, are you a stranger in Jerusalem and you don't know what's going on and what's come to pass in these days? And Jesus said, what are you talking about? And they said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and in word, how chief priests and rulers delivered him to put him to death and have crucified him. But we trusted it had been him that had redeemed Israel. And this is the third day since these things are done. Bible says certain women were early at his sepulcher, and when they found not his body and the angels told them he was alive, that others that were with us went to the sepulcher and found it so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. And Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Then he says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. They got close to the village, and he made it look like he was going to go a little bit further. But he stopped. They stopped him, and they said, why don't you just abide with us? It's almost evening time. The day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. and he sat to eat with them. And like he did so many times before, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. The Bible says in that moment their eyes were open and they knew him. The Bible says that Jesus vanishes out of their sight. You've got to see the picture of what I'm preaching in your hearing right now. That there were two men walking on the Emmaus Road and they're walking with Jesus and they didn't even know that Jesus was walking with them. And they were walking and trying to figure out everything that was happening in the time. Why was he crucified? Why was the Savior of the world killed? Why would they do this to a man like this? And the whole time, Jesus was walking with them. I just come to tell somebody that you may not understand where God is in the midst of your situation, in the midst of your mess, but Jesus is walking with you. You're not walking by yourself. Jesus is walking with you. You may not see him, you may not feel him, but Jesus is walking with you. These men, we're talking about him, but didn't know they were walking with him. He started expounding the scripture, and little by little, I believe he was trying to expose a little bit of himself, just like he does in the Word of God, a little here and a little there. And then it's the lover behind the lattice as Jesus is revealing and concealing at the same time as he does in his Word. And the casual passerby will never be able to see Jesus is walking with them. But as Jesus continues to walk with you, you start to realize, no, this is not just an ordinary man. No, this is not just another acquaintance of mine, but I'm walking with the Savior. I'm walking with Jesus. I'm walking with... Bible says their eyes were open. They knew him, and he vanished. And they said one to another, he talked to us by the way. He opened the scripture, and they rose the same hour, went to Jerusalem, and told the 11, the Lord is risen indeed. But what happens is the enemy will make you feel like you're all by yourself. It's the man Elijah in 1 Kings 18 and 22. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Completely missed the conversation in the same chapter, probably 10 verses before, where Obadiah in 18 and 13 said, "It was it not told you that I hid 100 men that were prophets of God by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water?" But that went right over Elijah's head because the enemy had him thinking that he was all by himself. I've come to tell somebody, the enemy's going to try to separate you from everybody else, and you got to understand that you're never walking alone, but God is always there. And Elijah goes on and gets one of the greatest victories we find in the Word of God. Elijah versus the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves. But we find Elijah after a great victory in a cave. In 1 Kings 19 and 10, he said these words, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant and thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophet with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He still didn't understand that when he was standing against Baal and when he was standing against the prophets of the grove and he was standing in that place, he thought he was all by himself. He still didn't understand that in order for him to get the victory, that God had to be standing with him. You've got to understand, Elijah, that God is walking by your side. I've come to preach to somebody and let you know you're not by yourself. God is walking with you. 14, same conversation. I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. 18, yet I have left This is God speaking to him and responding to all of this. He let him keep talking about how he was by himself, but God had something to say about the situation. He says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal and every mouth which have not kissed him. I'm come to tell somebody, don't ever think you're walking by yourself. Don't ever think you're the only one that's doing what you're doing. God's got prophets. God's got people of God. God's got somebody that's walking. Paul talks about it. He picks it up in Romans 11. Verse 1, he says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God had not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture said of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to thyself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, he said, right now, while I'm preaching to you, he said, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. I've come to tell somebody that you may feel like you're all by yourself, but Jesus is walking with you. You may feel like there's nobody else going through what you're going through, but there is somebody that desperately needs you to get a hold of your testimony and let them know, I made it out and you can make it out too. You're not walking by yourself. You're not... But it's the tactics of the enemy. He uses isolation. Hear me today. And the devil's too is to make people feel isolated when they're really not isolated. And he will drive you to a place where you begin to isolate yourself. And in that place, the enemy comes and starts talking to you, rather lying to you, telling you nobody cares about you. Nobody knows where you are. And we begin to build the walls up to keep other people out. Hear me today, child of God. And based off of this false premise that you're all alone, you start feeling like you should be isolated, and you start cutting yourself off from the body. And you start building these walls up and not let anybody get in, because you feel like, I'm just destined for isolation. I don't deserve to be a part of the church of the living God. But let me tell you that you got to get back to the house of God, and you got to get among the people of God, and you got to hook up with some people that'll help you push to the next level. I'm trying to encourage somebody today that you feel like you're all by yourself. Stop letting the devil lie to you. You've got people that'll pick you up today. You've got a God that'll never leave you or forsake you. You've got Jesus walking with you every step of the way. But tonight I just come to preach the walls down. I just come to tell somebody, you got to take the walls down. You put yourself in a place. You put yourself in a place where nobody can get to you. And I'm telling you, you have the power to shut God out. You have the power to isolate yourself so much, and you may feel alone, and I'm not diminishing that today. I'm just trying to let you know what the devil is up to behind the scenes. You may feel like you're by yourself, but you gotta understand these are walls that you put up, and brick by brick, you gotta start to break out of the isolation, and you gotta get back with the pack, and you gotta get back with God's people, and you gotta let God into your isolation. The devil is a liar. God cares about you. God knows where you are. God's walking with you. You're not walking by yourself. He'll never leave you or forsake you, but he wants to get you to a place of isolation, separated from the group, and with isolation comes fear. Let me just separate them over here so that I can start spewing all of this stuff into their mind. And then comes doubt and worry. I'm worried about every little thing. I think people are out to get me. I come to preach to somebody today that in that isolation, you're going to be attacked by the enemy. You are opening yourself up to him start playing mind games on you. And then you start getting frustrated. Not just frustrated with yourself. You get frustrated with everybody else. And then you start getting frustrated with God. And when you get frustrated with God, you start to push yourself away from the God that created you. He doesn't care about me. I'm on the other little ships. He may not even be able to see me. He's too busy focused on everybody else that he doesn't have time for me. I've come to preach to somebody today and let you know you are the apple of his eye and God cares about you deeply. As a matter of fact, I preached to you a little while ago that the same God, he rose and he died for your sin. He knew what you were gonna be. He died for you at your worst day because he knew that if you just get up out of the mess, if you just get up out of the isolation, that I can use you today. Somebody hear the preacher tonight. I've come to tell you, you're not walking by yourself. God's walking with you. But the attacks, it's not a physical war that we're fighting. The enemy's trying to gain control of your mind. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Hear me today, imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The enemy is trying to take a place in your mind. He knows that if I can get in their mind, then the whole rest of the battle is lost. But that's why the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. You gotta get an attitude about your mind today. You gotta say, you can't have my thoughts. You can't have my emotions. You're not gonna have my mind today. Oh God, as he gets so, he starts sowing thoughts of I'm by myself, nobody knows where I am, it's just me, I don't have any help, I don't have anybody, I don't have nobody watching me and nobody helping me, but I'm just pleading with somebody to hear my words today. I just want to preach to you today and remind you that he's never going to leave you or forsake you, that God loves you and he's walking with you every step of the way, but you got to get the enemy out of your mind. The enemy has been living rent free in your mind for a long time, but today is the day that you say you got to get out. You got to evict the devil today. You got to get him up out of your mind today. You got to tell him, you can't have my thoughts. You can't have my mind today. But you got to guard it at all costs. You got to guard your mind, because once he starts working, then it just starts unraveling from there. And if he can convince you that you're by yourself and that God doesn't care about you, then he can start bringing other information that's false, because the devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. Stop letting him tell lies to you. You got to stand up and hear the word of God tonight in the house, that the devil, he has no place in your mind. And today is the day that I start fighting for my mind and my thoughts back. I gotta have that because I wanna engage the word of God. Somebody clap your hands right. Philippians 4:7. and the God of peace, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Then he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You've got to learn how to think on these things. You've got to learn how to invite God into your isolation. It's Paul and Silas who are in their midnight hour in a jail cell. But the Bible says that they prayed and sang praises unto God. What were they doing? They were in a place of isolation. They were by themselves. They were separated from the pack. They were separated from the group physically. But they knew, if I can just reach up beyond this jail cell, if I can just reach up beyond my isolation, then God can come into this room and we can shake the gates of this prison cell today. I just come to preach to somebody that you got to start inviting God into your isolation. I feel like I'm by myself, but God, I want you to come in my isolation. I feel like nobody's with me, but God, I want you to be with me every step of the way. Jesus is walking with you. Joshua, after Moses died, God talked to him and lets him know, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you whithersoever thou goest. Isaiah 30 and 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Psalm 91 and 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 139. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? He said, if I ascend up into heaven, he says, God, you're going to be there with me. He said, but if I just so happen to make my bed in hell, he said, you are there also. I'm coming to tell somebody tonight that wherever you go, God is going with you. You're not walking in any situation by yourself. I know the storms of life are raging right now, and I know you're in the midst of the storm, but Jesus is sleeping on the boat. Jesus has got it under control. Jesus is there with you. And even if you don't see Jesus on your little boat, God is still there. He knows where you are. He hears your cry. Master, carest not that we perish. Yes, I care. I'm going to save you. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to tell the rain to stop. He said, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Psalm 27 and 9. Hide not thy face far from me, and put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. 1 Kings 8 and 57. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us or forsake us. God knows your every move. God knows your every cry. Every time you get down on your knees to pray, God's watching and God's there with you. He's hovering over you. That accident that you should have had, God was hovering over you. The time when you should have lost your life, I'm preaching to somebody, you could have died of an overdose, but God was there with you. He was standing there every step of the way. He was walking with you. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Somebody needs to get a hold of that word tonight. God is there with you. We've got testimonies all over this building that the grace of God and the mercy of God, and God was hovering over his people. Somebody come to the music. The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they come from me. You prepare us a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In this passage, there is no place that you will walk that he's not walking with you. He's with you every step of the way. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Psalm 34 and 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Anybody know we got a host of angels around us at all times? I remember being a little boy. We were going on road trips, and I remember we were driving on the road, and pretty much everybody was sleeping. I was in the back seat with my brothers. They were asleep. My dad was in the passenger seat, sleep. When I woke up, it was the middle of the night. It was probably 2 o'clock in the morning. My mom was driving. I looked outside, and all around the car, I've never seen this before, and I've never seen it again since. But all around that vehicle that night, I saw just light surrounding the whole vehicle. And I was wondering, I was perplexed, I was fearful. And I started to just look and try to figure out what it was. And I looked to my mom, who was just driving and crying and speaking in tongues. And I said, Mama, what is that? And she said, you see it too, baby? I said, yeah, I see it. She said, I think those are angels. And they're surrounding this car right now. I just come to tell somebody, I don't know where you are, and I don't know what you're going through right now, and I don't know what life has thrown your way, and you may feel like just a little ship floating on the sea, and the sea is raging and the storm is raging and everything is going wrong and you don't know what's going to happen. I just come to tell you that you're not walking through it alone. But every step of the way, Jesus is right there with you. I wonder, can somebody stand all over this house right now? I feel the Holy Ghost in this place right now. I feel that angelic host in this house right now. I feel like encouraging somebody right now that you ought to just lift up your hands. If you want to come to the altar, come to the altar. But I want you to lift up your hands right now and just entertain what you feel right now. It's the Spirit of God. It's the presence of God. God's never left you, but he's always been there. I know we may be able to feel him now, but tonight you're going to be able to feel him when you're all by yourself. You're not alone, Santa God.
Thank you, Lord.
But God's got other little ships that he's got his eye on. I wonder, can we pray all over this building right now? Somebody lift up your voice right now. God is in this house. The Savior is here right now. Jesus is in the building right now. I wonder, can you pray? Somebody continue to invite his presence in this house. God's here today. Mercy is here today. Grace is here today. Come on, as they sing right now, I wonder, can we pray? I wonder, can you lift up your voices? I wonder, can you cry out to him? You're not alone in this house, but Jesus is walking with you.
No, I won't fear.
Come on, find somebody to pray with right now. Find somebody to pray with right now. You ought to lift up your brother right now. You ought to lift up your sister right now. Let them know you're not alone, but I'm walking by the side of you right now. God is with you, but I'm with you too. We're going to pray for you. We're going to hold you up in the house. Come on, somebody, press on in right now. God's doing something in this house. Somebody to pray with. God's working in this house. God's helping somebody right now.
He's my comfort. Always holds.
He always holds me close. Yes, he does.
He always guides me
through mountains
and valleys.
Oh, his joy.
His joy is refreshing.
It restores my soul.
Restores my soul.
And your mercy and goodness.
Mercy and goodness.
Oh, it gives me assurance.
It gives me assurance.
Be there, church. He's gonna be there.